Boker Tov, and today's daf in Masechet Chagiga is daf Vav, and we are right at the first word of the daf. I believe that that's where we got up to. Now, if I'm wrong, please correct me. So, well, actually, I mean, there's four words before we could say on the Amud Beis. Matkif L'Rabbi Yisrael. So, what we had over here, actually, we could start from the two dots, the last line. So remember that according to Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai says, which is talking about that the child has to be old enough to be brought up from Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayit, and he can come up on his father's shoulders. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, only if he's able to hold his father's hand and walk under his own power from Yerushalayim up to the Har HaBayit. We discuss what the meaning of the Har HaBayit, since it's really the Azor, a fascinating issue over there. But anyway, back to the question, because Matkif L'Rabbi Yisrael, what kind of weird shear is this? I mean, how did he get here? How did he get to Yerushalayim? Now, there's obviously two very different ways for us to understand that, because the way that we understood ourselves, as opposed to the way that the Chazon Ish explained it, as opposed to the way that Tosfos explained that this was a shear wherever it is that you are, right? This is what Tosfos said on Beis Amud Beis. So the question is, he doesn't agree that Raglo Me'irol Yerushalayim is different than from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayit, because according to Tosfos, a child that cannot go up from his own city up to Yerushalayim would also be Potter, even though he can be Eila from Yerushalayim La'azora. So they're going to have a completely different explanation of what the Gemara is asking over here. But the way that we understood this, that this was a one single shear, that's how the Chazon Ish understood it, wherever it is that you live, basically the shear is that you should be able to go up from Yerushalayim to the Har HaBayit. So then the explanation is pretty straightforward. Because, look, the question is, if the child is not in Yerushalayim, there does not seem to be a chiev to bring him up to Yerushalayim because of chinuch, because that's basically that's not the mitzvah. In other words, the halicha to Yerushalayim is a hechsher mitzvah. I have to be in Yerushalayim in order to be able to go up from Yerushalayim to the Azara. Or maybe because the way Rashi understands it, I can't say that would be the chiev in terms of chinuch, because for that much, the child may be unable to leave his mother. We're only looking for a minimal shear that the child is old enough to be left on his own, be able to go up with daddy, and not to drive everybody crazy, to start crying for mommy and needing his mother's care. That's how Rashi seems to understand it. So then the kasha is straightforward, which is, how did he get here? In other words, would you really be saying that there's only a chiyuv on a child in Yerushalayim? Isn't this a shear that is said kol she'eno yochol, meaning that any katan that is yochol, wherever he is, has a din of chinuch? So how could he have a din of chinuch if, in fact, we're not being mechayev the father to bring him up from wherever he is? Now, gentlemen, I must tell you that Rashi threw in a very fascinating word back at the beginning when he spoke about chinuch, and he said, "Al aviv ve'al imo lechantcho." Now, Rashi doesn't usually do that. In fact, there's a big, big question, whether there really is a general chiyuv of chinuch on mothers, or whether the din of chinuch relates to the chiyuv of teaching Torah to a child, which is a chiyuv on the av. Rashi goes out of his way to say on his mother, and that would be the chiyuv on his mother as well. So then to say how did he get up here is a very interesting question. Because did Rashi mean to say that his mother would be mechuyevet to bring him up here? No. The point is that if that's only a heksher mitzvah, or he can't manage to do it on his own to be away from his mother, then how could we give a shir that is really not applicable? Okay, that would be the question. By the way, I mean, you can't say that it's a silly question. Say maybe the issue is like this, that since he's not able to go all the way from his city to Yerushalayim on his father's shoulders, and even though you could bring him to Yerushalayim in a car, and from that point on, be mechanichin, because the truth is that even a gadol that would be unable to walk all the way from his city to Yerushalayim would still have to take a cab to Yerushalayim. And from there, we talk about zakein, we talk about a chole, somebody who has a problem walking. It was only this year that he can't be oyle from Yerushalayim to Har HaBayis. He's not mechuyev to walk from Be'er Sheva. When it comes to Be'er Sheva, that he's chayev to take care of himself going in a car. So that isn't the question. The question is, how did he get to this situation where now I'm mechuyev to be mechanichim? Because it's unreasonable to say that I'm mechuyev to be mechanichim as a father from Be'er Sheva. Well, that's what the Gemara seems to be asking, or according to Tosfos, it's asking, according to them, that since he can't go that far from his city, so then he shouldn't be chayev. So the Gemara answers, Omer le Abaye, ad ha'ocha de mechayve ime besimcha, aitite ime. Up until this point, we're assuming that the child is in Yerushalayim. Why? Because remember that even though the Noshim are peturites from Chagiga and from Re'ia, as we said before, they are Chayev and Simcha. Now, Simcha doesn't mean that they have to come into the Azara, because you're Mekayim Simcha with Achila Shlomim. Achila Shlomim would have to be only in Yerushalayim. That would explain why it says the Shir begins from Yerushalayim, because any infant and child, a young child, toddler, would be brought up to Yerushalayim with his mother. Who's she going to leave him back home with for the Yontiv in Be'er Sheva? So therefore, we're making the assumption. Mommy is coming. So okay, so if mommy's coming, she's going to be bringing baby. Now the question is, how old is baby to have to come up from Yerushalayim once he's there? So mikan ve'elech im yachol la'alot ve'lechos b'yodo shalav v'Yerushalayim la'arabayit, then he's supposed to be chayev. V'ilo patur. Fine. Says Rebbe, let me talk out what I believe is the underlying discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel over here. All right. I would say, look, the first thing that Beit Hillel would have said to Beit Shammai is this. Heshiv Rebbe tachas Beit Hillel divrei Beit Shammai. Does it say in the pasuk, v'chana lo alata? So Shmuel's mother, Chana, did not go up to Shiloh for Aliyah Lorega. Ki amra le'isha, ad yigamel ha'na'ar v'aviotiv. When the boy gets old enough, meaning that he's weaned, then I will bring him. Now, Shmuel was certainly old enough to be able to go on his father's back, right? And yet, they didn't go and take Shmuel. And his father said, okay, fine, let him stay at home. How do you explain that? So obviously going up on the back is not the point. Isn't that true? So, Lechora, that seems to be a clear raya that it means like Beit Hillel. Because according to Beit Shammai, he is certainly going to be able to be Eila. Wow. Omar lei v'letaymech tikshilecha chana gufa. So according to the way you're understanding it, how do you explain, the correct years is probably Abaye, not Avua, doesn't make sense. So Omar lei Abaye, this is what you would want to say. Because v'letaymech tikshilecha chana gufa, milo mechayve besimcha. Why don't you ask, how did Chana get away without going up to Shiloh? She is chayev and simcha. How is she going to eat korbanos if she didn't go up to Shiloh? So it must be that there was a specific reason why they didn't go up, and that same reason was the reason that Shmuel wasn't taken by his father to go up. And that is that Chana mefankuta yeterata chazi bebe Shmuel, v'choshi bebe Shmuel l'chushul d'urcha. Chana must have been sensitive to the fact that Shmuel was a particularly delicate child and that travel might have endangered his health. And therefore she said, listen, I can't go because I can't bring him and I can't leave him behind and he isn't weaned yet. And you certainly can't take him because he's not strong enough to travel. I mean, whatever, because otherwise the whole discussion doesn't make any sense. Why didn't she go up? Why did she tell Elkanah we have to wait until he's weaned? By Rabbi Shimon, I have an interesting question, says Rabbi Shimon. Suppose this is a fascinating question because it sheds light on the entire chiyuv of chinuch. Let me ask you something. Suppose you have a katan who, in fact, is lame. This I'm asking according to Beit Shammai, because according to Beit Hillel, if he's lame, then he can't walk up with his father, so he's not included in the shir b'chalal. Okay, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about according to Beit Shammai, where the only problem of his being lame has nothing to do with whether he could be carried on his father's shoulders. It has to do with the fact that if he were an adult, then he wouldn't be chayev, right? So now I want to know whether a katan who in a state that he's in where he an adult would be putter, is there a chiyuv to be mechanechim? Because even as an adult, he would be putter. Or, I mean, I can ask this question according to both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel if I want to ask about a blind child. Suppose the child's blind, or blind in one eye, the way that we paskin. So what would be then according to either Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel? Mao. Well, wait a minute. Can you please clarify what you mean? I mean, are you talking about permanently lame or permanently blind? And it's a pretty silly question. I mean, echidami. You're talking about someone who is permanently, and that means he's never going to be chayim? Well, then obviously, if he were a gadol, he would be potter. So we're going to be chayim a cotton where even as a gadol, he'll be potter? But what would be the point of a chinuch for a mitzvah he's never going to become chayim in, and we're going to be more chayim him than we would be chayim the gadol? That's absurd. That can't be your question. Then must be, lo, tzricha b'chiger, sheyocholit pashet v'sumah sheyocholit pateach. My question is like this. The current situation is that were he a gadol in this kind of fix, he would be potter. However, the doctors say that by the time he will be bar mitzvah, he will have his sight back, they're going to be finished a series of operations on his leg, he's going to be able to walk, everything is going to be normal. So now my question is like this. In terms of preparing him to do the mitzvahs that he will be chayav as an adult, so I could start that now. What's the difference if currently he is unable to walk and would be potter? But we're not talking about that. We're talking about getting him used to doing the mitzvah, I guess. I mean, that's certainly one possibility of understanding chinuch, in which case he would be chayav in chinuch. But the other question is, were the mitzvahs of chinuch a separate issue? Act with a katan in a way that will enable him to get used to doing mitzvahs. For instance, okay, let's think about this case. You have a child, it's sukkahs, you don't have a lulav for the kid, so you give him a pasul lulav, right? I mean, we're not interested in you doing the mitzvah. We're only interested in you getting used to doing the mitzvah. You don't know the difference between a potsa lulav and a kosher lulav or an esrog or a lemon. So I'll give you a potsa lulav and an esrogy looking lemon, you know. Is that fine? Because I'm getting him used to doing the mitzvah. Or is the mitzvah of chinuch a way of saying the katan must be mekayim this mitzvah? And that way it will emerge that he'll be used to doing his mitzvah. But just to do something stupid so that he will get used to doing something which eventually will be chayim, maybe that's not the mitzvah of chinuch. It's only to do the mitzvah. That's my question. And the same thing is true over here. So I want to know, says Rabbi Shimon, how do we look at this? I mean, we could say we're talking about over here, by the time he's going to be a gadol, he'll be chayev. What's the deal? Omar Abaye, the deal is very simple. Kol eichad gadol mechayev midoraita, katan ami mechanchelim min rabbanan. Were he chayev in this mitzvah? So then the rabbanan said, okay, even though he is not chayev because of his age, let him now proceed as if he were chayev and do the mitzvah. Well, I mean, then he would be pater because he's currently a chiger. We can't be mechayev him to pretend to be doing the mitzvah. And therefore, if in this event he would be a pater because of a gadol, so then kol eichad gadol pater midoraisa, so then midrabanan the katan is also pater. So now that seems to be sort of a very fundamental determination of the way in which we view the mitzvah of chinuch. In other words, it seems, and actually Rav Moshe brings this in the Igros Moshe, that you see from here that indeed you are mechuyev to buy a kosher lulav for a child. You have to set him up with a lulav and esrog that will be shayach to him personally, because otherwise it's not a mitzvah. So it would be the same thing as a katan chigir or suma. So therefore, he brings a raya that halacha lemaisa would have to be kosher. Now, not everybody agrees with this, because the question over here might be that the Gemara was questioning whether, specifically in terms of re'ia, is it that ketanim are included in the chiyav of re'ia, or is that the father is mechuyav to bring him something like we have by hakel? Okay, I mean, where would the mocker for that be? Some achronim suggest that. I don't see that as being, I mean, it's not introduced here in the Gemara at all. Okay, in any event, that's the way Rav Moshe learns it, and I must tell you, so too does the Kilas Yaakov learn it like that, exactly like Rav Moshe. So it's probably kedai to get your child a kosher lulav. Anyway, moving on. Beit Shammai Omrim, Hariyashtei Kesef. Okay, so we have big machlokas over here. According to Beit Shammai, we're more machshiv, the carbon ria, which is an eila, and we're saying we give it a minimal value of tuma'a, then we are the chagiga, which is a carbon shlamim, and that only has to have a minimum value of one ma'a, whereas Beit Hillel says exactly the opposite. Now, let's take a look at the way that the Braita expands the sheet of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Tana Rabbana, Beit Shammai Omrim Ariya Shtei Kesev, V'chagiga Ma'a Kesev, because the Riyah is more important. It's a carbon eila. It goes entirely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kavayachol. So a Riyah Kula Olala Gavoha, Mashenken B'chagiga. And there's another important point over here, because if we take a look at the number of korbanot that are brought on Chag HaShavuot, now the korbanot on Chag HaShavuot also of two completely different types of korbanot, which is fascinating, because we have the korbanot that we are bringing, which are for the purpose of the Shtei HaLechem, specifically. And then we have the regular korbanos that we're bringing, which are being brought for the musaf, right? Now, we have, if you analyze the number of korbanos that are being brought special, how does the Torah bring them out? There's the only time that we have a korban shlamim of a tzibur, or the kifsei atzeret. Is the Torah more makbid on the kifsei atzeret than on the eilais that are being brought specifically for the shtei alechem, or is it more makbid on the eilais? Well, you can add it up and you can see for yourself. The shtei alechem include two korbanos shlomi, the kifsei atzeret, and includes at the same time 10 korbanos that are oila. Okay? So, I mean, it seems to me very clear, says Beit Shammai. The Torah is more interested, more machshiv, bringing the gift of the oila than it is in what it is you're going to be bringing along to eat, which is the equivalent of a chagiga. Whereas Beit Hillel says, I say exactly the opposite. The korban oila only has to be worth as a re'ia one ma'av kesef. The chagiga, that which is a shlamim, has to be two. Why do I say this? Because, first of all, you want to see what's more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chagiga or the re'ia? Well, consider that the chagiga was brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before there ever was a korban re'ia. Because what it says in the Torah and Mishpatim is, Vayishlachet na'arei b'nei Yisrael, Vayalu olot, Vayizbechu izvachim shlamim. So these shlamim, we'll talk about the olot in a moment, these shlamim were basically a korban chagiga, because there was no olat ria at the time. And therefore, it's clear that we are interested. The Gemara is going to ask, well, why does it say olot? Fine, we'll talk about that in a moment. But according to Beit Hillel, the only korban that was a chiyav over there was the korban of chagiga. And that korban was being brought at Har Sinai, because why would we bring it at Har Sinai? Because that was the whole thing that we had said to Paro all along, remember? Send out my people via choguli bamidbar. They have to be chogeg. That's a chagiga. So here they were. They had come to Har Sinai. It's time to bring the chagiga that they were told to bring. And this is what they've been saying we need to leave for the whole time. Didn't say anything about olos. So you see, says Beit Hillel, to choguli bamidbar is all about the carbon chagiga. That means that we had that in place before we even thought about the idea of an olas ria. So, of course, the chagiga is more chashev. So it was yeshal lifnei adibor, that was before HaKadosh Baruch Hu had even spoken at Har Sinai, ma she'en kein b'ri'ia, and this is not the case of the korban ria. Now, by the way, this is a big machlokas, if you remember from the parsha that we recently had in Mishpatim, between Rashi and the Ramban. Because it says over here, Yeshel lifnei hadibur, but that's the way Rashi understands the whole parsha at the end of Mishpatim that talks about he builds a Mizbeach, Meshe Rabbeinu, and he sends the Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, and so on. Rashi says all of that is Ein Muktam U'Mukhar B'Torah, and that is a description of what took place before the Shechina was Yored on Har Sinai. He goes through all of the days, if you recall, and the Ramban is very upset about his pshat. He says, what are you people that throw around this deal about Ein Muktam U'Mukhar B'Torah, and they don't seem to realize that that is only said in very specific places. So, and so he goes and explains the whole thing Kitsurasa, then he's got a big problem, because the Gemara over here is saying that it's Lifnei Hadibor, whereas according to the Ramban, if it's after, it's in Mishpatim, then it's La'achar Hadibor. So, I mean, the Tosis Rid explains this, and apparently this is the way the Ramban is going to learn as well, that when it says Lifnei Hadibor, it doesn't mean Lifnei Hadibor on Har Sinai, it means Lifnei Hadibor in the Oyel Moed, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bitzava on the Karbanas. But Rashi's pshat looks much, much better in the Gemara, as we're going to see. In any event, so the first thing that Beis Hillel says is, the Korban Chagiga came first, before we dreamt about this Korban of the Olas Re'ia. And that's my first point. And furthermore, it's to your second point, Beit Shammai, which is, well, let's take a look at Atzeret. You see, the Torah was more makbid on the Olot than it was on the Chagigot. Well, I would turn your attention, my dear sir, to the story of the Nesiim that we're bringing all of those karbonas for the Chanukat HaMizbeach and so on, right? So what did they bring? They brought way more shlamim than they brought olot. Because if you take a look, for some reason Rashi says, take a look at the Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach. Okay, I mean, I don't know why he wants to look at the total, because you could look at any one of them. But the bottom line is that it adds up there the full number of karbonas, and it says there were 204 separate Karbanot Shlamim. If you take all of the different, the 60 Purim and the 60, so it adds up to 204. Masha'inkin, if you take a look at the Olot, between all of the Nesiim, there were only 36 Olot. So that means that, on the contrary, Torah is much more interested in the Shlamim than in the Olot. So you see, I'm right. Chagiga is more important. Let's give Chagiga more value than we give to the Elasriya. Okay, so let me ask you something. I mean, certainly Beit Shammai has some good points over here, right? I mean, there is an advantage to the Ola in terms of its being Ola Kula Lamala. There is an advantage to the Ola in terms of the Torah being Makbid and giving more Olot when it came to the Kibsi Atzeret. So, I mean, you can't just pretend that that doesn't exist. So if you take Beit Shammai into consideration and you take Beit Hillel into consideration, so then just leave it even. In other words, you haven't been able to show that one is better than the other. So why is Beit Hillel ignoring what Beit Shammai is saying? I mean, I understand maybe he doesn't have to agree with Beit Shammai entirely, but at least he should consider it, no? So my time alo amrikim Beit Shammai. Well, very simple. Beit Hillel would tell you, look, this business about Re'iya being more chasher, because it's Oila Kula Lagavah, well, that's not really true. Adarabha, Chagiga Adifa. I would say the Korban Chagiga is a reason for us to be more machmer on the Shir, because it has Shtei Achilot. We have to account for Achilat HaMizbeach and for Achilat HaAdam. So obviously then the Shir that we're going to be Koveya, and these are Derabbon and Shiurim, gentlemen. There are no Shiurim the arise for any carbon other than for carbon asham, for nasham meilas, or for bipikot, and that's the only place where the Torah says that it has to be a minimum value of shtei kesef. But other than that, we're the ones that are going to be koveas. We're the ones that are being koveas. Makes sense to me, says Beit Hillel, that if the kviut is for two separate achilot, then it should be double the amount for one achila. What's wrong with that? So I'm not going to take that into consideration. As far as your other point, which is, well, if you take a look at Atzeret, so then you see that the Ola is certainly more chashuv, so we should apply that idea to the Ola's Ria as well. I mean, what's the connection to Atzeret? I don't understand. We're talking about over here a Korban Yochid, that every individual is supposed to bring as an individual. Now we're talking about the Ria of the individual versus the Chagiga of the individual, right? And what does it have to do with Atzeret, which over there's a halach of a Korban Yoch, Korban Tzibor, which is brought from the Lishkas Hagazes. I keep saying Lishkas Hagazes, which is brought from the Lishka, which is the Shkolim. I mean, you can't learn one from the other. That's a completely different halach. That's from Gagdish. That's not from the individual. We're asking, how much does an individual have to spend? We're going to learn that from something that has to do with a carbon seaboard. Okay, so let me ask you, why does Beit Shammai take into consideration some of Beit Hillel's arguments? Well, Beit Shammai will say also, listen, what's your point? Chagiga is more chashev because you claim the Chagiga, and only the Chagiga was there before the Dibur. It's not true. It says, Vayalu Olot. It says that the Nare B'nai Yisrael went up there. They didn't just bring up Zvachim, they brought Olot. So I don't understand what you're talking about. So it's there. It was an Olah mentioned in the same Pasuk as the Chagiga, and you're pretending I should only read the first part of the Pasuk? I mean, the last part of the Pasuk, actually. I don't understand. And the other point that you, which of course Beis Hillel is going to have to respond to him as a pretty strong Taina. And as far as your other idea, that we should learn out from the Nesiim? We're going to learn out from the Nesiim to define a normal Yontev? I mean, the Nesiim was a one-time event in history. And as you are well aware, we never learn out from one-time events because they are special. And therefore, they have their own raison d'etre, and they have their own hierarchy of values. That you can't apply that to Halacha L'Dayreis. And therefore, I say, forget about learning it from the Nesiim. Learn it, as I suggest, from Atzeres. Because donin davar ha'noheg l'dorot, mi davar ha'noheg l'dorot. Since when do we go and learn Ein Danin Davar Noeg L'Dorot? We're going to bring the normal dinim of every Yontif Schagiga and Re'ia from something that happened once in history? Midavar She'eino Noeg L'Dorot? Okay, so we see the approaches both of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but what did Beit Hillel mean by saying that the Chagiga was before the Dibur, if in the same pasuk it says Vayalu Olot? What in the world does that mean? Maishna Chagiga that you're claiming is Yeshla Lefnei HaDibur. I mean, because it says in the pasuk Vayizbechu Zevachim Shlamim, right? But it continues on in that very pasuk. Vayalu Olot, they brought Olot, and you're pretending that they only brought Shlamim. How do you explain that? As a matter of fact, the first part of the pasuk is Vayalu Olot. Only then does it say Vizbechu Zvachim Shlamim. So how do you bring a raya that Chagiga is more Choshev? Beit Hillel holds that Ola was not the Ola's Re'ia. That was the Ola that was brought every day. That was the Ola Tamid. I was suggesting that in terms of the hierarchy of value between Olat Re'ia and Chagiga, that we have a reason to be ma'adif the Chagiga. That's what Beis Hillel says. I'm not saying that Olot didn't exist also before the Dibur. I'm saying Olat Re'ia did not exist before the Dibur. But the Chagiga did, because they were told to go out and to come to this place being the place where Moshe Rabbeinu was given his Nevi'as, and that was Har Chorev, that was on Sinai. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe then, don't worry about it. When they come out of Mitzrayim, they're going to come here, Vayavdu et Elohim, Alahar Azeh. Fine, okay, that's Har Sinai. So the Chagiga was defined as a Chagiga in advance. It didn't say anything about Olas Ria. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that, well, I mean, if they're standing here on Har Sinai, and the Shechina is about to appear, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming down to give us the Torah, so then we need to bring an Ola as a Re'ia, the same way that we bring an Ola in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, gentlemen, think about the implications of this for our Masechet, because it's extremely meaningful. The Gemara is taking for granted that if, in fact, there was a response to the coming down of the Shechina with an Ola, then that would have been an Olas Re'ia. Why? Because Sinai is ipso facto Re'ia. That explains why we're going to be taken back to Har Sinai in our Masechet. And that Chagiga, Masechet Chagiga, the Choguli Bamidbar, is related specific to the concept of Re'ia on Har Sinai, and the concept of Re'ia, of course, means seeing, understanding. It means to be able to make sense of what it is that you see. That's why we're going to have all the inyanim of Maisa Merkava here. Why we're going to have stories coming up that speak of dreams of Sinai. Because that is what Chagiga is really about, ultimately. And when we come into the Beis HaMikdash, it's only a subsection of the inyan of the real Re'iyas HaShechina publicly on Har Sinai, which was done only be Seser, as the Rambam points out, in the reconstruction of Sinai in the Midbar. And that the whole point of the whole point of that reconstruction is to enable that Re'iya. So it's, of course, all connected. So therefore, what I'm saying, says Beit Hillel, I'm not saying there was no Korban oil. Of course there was a Korban oil. It says Ob Ferish. It says Vayalu Olot. But what Ola was that? Was that the Olat Re'iya? Or was that an Ola that was brought every day, which was the regular Olas Tamid? So I hold that this was the regular Olat Tamid, and that the Olat Tamid was started already in the Midbar. So Kasavri Beit Hillel, Olah Shekrivu Yisrael Bamidbar, was the Olah Tamid. Whereas Beit Shammai says, no. What was Olah Tamid? It's talking about over there a special event. that they sent the Na'arei B'nai Yisrael. The sending the Na'arei B'nai Yisrael was a response to the coming of the Shekhinah. It was the greeting of the Shekhinah, and therefore it was an Olat Riyah, because it says, Vayechezu et Elohim. They saw, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, at Sinai, is the equivalent of Riyah. Okay. Now, it turns out that this question about whether the Eula that is mentioned over there is an Eula's Riyah, or whether it's an Eula's Tamid, is actually a much broader machlokas that involves many other Chachomim, not only Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. So as Abaya points out, look, I mean, I can tell you three different Tanoim that all hold on both of these sides. When it comes to Beit Shammai, well, we have Beit Shammai, we have Rabbi Elazar, and we have Rabbi Yishmael, and all of them, yes, we're going to be getting there, Gershi, very good. We're going to be talking about it. So all of them, Kulo Svirlu, Ola Shekrivu Yisroel Bamidbar, was an Olas Re'iyah. Beit Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yossi Haglili, all of them hold that Ola Shekrivu Yisroel Bamidbar was an Ola Tamid. Now let me show you why I say this. Okay, Beit Shammai we know. We just had Beit Shammai Shita, and Beit Shammai said this beferish. It's an Olas Re'iyah. Rabbi Yishmael, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yishmael holds the same thing. The Tanya Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Klolot Nemru B'Sinai. The general dinim of the Torah were said in a very general way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't sit on Har Sinai and say over all of the Mishnayos and all of the Shas. All he said was that, you know, make a Mizbeach, Mizbach Avanim, Tasaliv, Ikravta, Olosecha. That's all he said. What does that mean? How do I do it? What's the shear? Are there dinim of pigol? Is there a halach of hefshet, of nituach? What kind of animal? That was not mentioned on Har Sinai. That was only mentioned in the Protos. And the Protos, says Rabbi Yishmael, those were all said in the Ohel Moed, where it says that that Kadosh Baruch Hu calls Moshe, Vayikra Moshe, and then Vayidaber Elav, and then we have the whole Vayikra, the whole Torah's Kohanim, with the Prote Dinim of these Karbonis that were said Bichlolot on Har Sinai. All right, so we had the Machlokas, that according to Rabbi Akiva, it was what they talked about first according to Rabbi Shmuel, that there were no things that were said in detail on Har Sinai. They were all said in the Ohel Moed. Then Rabbi Akiva holds, Klolot Upratot Nemru B'Sinai. Everything was said on Har Sinai. V'nishnu B'Ohel Moed. They were said over again in the Ohel Moed. And Nishtarshalu B'Arvot Moav. And they were repeated a third time in Arvot Moav. Now, the Netziv understands this to mean that there were different dargas, meaning that the first time was all of the dinim that we find in the Chumash. Those were said over on Har Sinai. The second time in the Ohel Moed, those are all the dinim that we find like in the Mishnah. And then the third time, when it was said over in Nishtarshu B'Arvos Moav, that was said with all of the limud that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over, basically all of the dinim that we have in the Gemara. That's how he understands it. Now, here is my proof, says Abaya. If you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Eula Shehikrivu in the Yisrael in the Midbar was an Eula's Tamid, then you run into a ridiculous situation, because at the time of the Eula's Tamid, there was no din at that point of any of the halachas. So there was no hefshet, there was no nituach. And that means that all of the things that it says over there were applied only later. So how do you understand the Eulas Tumit, supposedly, that would have been brought? That they wouldn't have known what to do with it? They didn't make Hefshet, they didn't make Nituach, they didn't have the right animal? That doesn't make any sense. And only later it became an Eulas Tumit? It must be, therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that it was not the Eulas Tamid. It must have been a spontaneous Eula that was brought by people at the fact that they were able to
see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Har Sinai, and therefore it must have been an Olah Tzibiyah. That's what I think, says Abaye. And I'll bring you another Tana that has to hold that, and that is Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya, Olat Tamid HaAsuya B'Har Sinai, Rabbi Elazar Omer says, even though, as Gershi pointed out before, it says HaAsuya B'Har Sinai, so what does that mean? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, all that it means is Ma'aseha Nemru B'Sinai. Doesn't mean they actually did it. He Atzma Lo Korva. It was not brought at Har Sinai. Its dinim were set at Sinai. So Ha'asuya means well-defined at Har Sinai. That was the Oila, which means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that Oila was not the Oila Zeriyah. So, well, what did they bring then? They must have been, that was not rather an Olas Tam. It must have been there for an Olas Ria. Okay? Now, in this same context, we also have Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, I say, Korva, no. The Olas Tomid was brought at Har Sinai and was never interrupted. Throughout all the years in the Midbar, they continued to bring the Olas Tomid. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make this point out, this question to Klal Yisrael? Did you ever bring me Karbonis when you were in the Midbar? This is what the Navi Amos says. Well, of course they did. According to you, they did. No, they were in a state of Nidui because of the Maisim in the Midbar. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want from them, after the Egel Azov, did not want from them Korbanos. But that doesn't mean they didn't bring Korbanos, because Levi, Shevet Levi, from their own funds, they brought Korbanos. And that was Shifta Shalevi, Shalo Avdu Avadazara. They were the ones who were Makriv, the Korban Tomid. Okay. Now, let me show you, says Abaye, the three Shitot that hold like Beit Hillel. We have Beit Hillel. That says it was a Korban Tomid, fine. We just had that, Hodi Amora. We have Rabbi Akiva, we just had that, in the Braisa, Hanami Damora. Now, as far as my third suggestion, that includes Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the reason I say that is because of this Braisa, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Sholosh Mitzvot Nitztavu Yisro Balotam L'Rega. There were three mitzvahs. And what are those three mitzvahs? Re'iyah, Chagiga, and Simcha. Now, there's something about the Korban Re'iyah that is not to be found in either of the other two. There's something about a Chagiga that is not to be found in the other two. And there's something about the Simcha that is not to be found in the other two. Let the Braita explain. The Re'iyah has something that is not in the other, and that is the Re'iyah's Anoila. It's the only one that's Anoila, and therefore it's Oila Kulo Legavoa. That's very Chashev. Now, that is not true about the others. The others are Chagigas. So both the Simcha and the others are both Shlomim. So both the Simcha and the Chagiga are Shlomim. Yesh b'Chagiga also Masha in Kein b'Shteyan. Ah, here we get to an important point to us. The Chagiga is the only one of these that was brought before the Dibur of Hashem on Har Sinai. Masha in Kein b'Shteyan. The other two, meaning that the Re'iyah was not brought before. That's like Beis Hillel. And yesh b'simcha ma'ashen b'shteyam, because the simcha is noyeg with men and women, ma'ashen ke b'shteyam. So here we have Rabbi Yossi Aglili saying openly, the Chagiga was brought on Sinai, and the Re'iyah was not brought on Sinai. That's it. So, the one question we have about Abaye is, where the heck does he get the idea that just because, what's this big raya? The only reason he said that Rabbi Shmuel must also agree that the Oila on Har Sinai must have been an Oila Zeriyah was because there's no way that they would have been bringing a Korban Oila Tamid that didn't have the halakhas of the Oila Tamid because they hadn't been said yet. Excuse me? That's no Raya. Let me listen to that again. You say, Rabbi Shmuel, my time become muk b'slaka bet shamai. Why did you insist that was true, that he must hold like Beit Shammai, only because of this specious argument that you have, that because Isaac Adaitach Oila Shikriv Yisro Midbar is the Oilas Tamid, how would you explain the fact that the Olas Tamid was not brought to halacha, it was brought in some weird way without Hefshet V'Nituach, and only later on it became something that does need Hefshet V'Nituach. That's not reasonable. Excuse me? That's not reasonable. It happens to be exactly what Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says. Because Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, who says beferish, that the Ola that Hikriv Yisroel b'Midbar was an Olas Tamid, and he holds also like Rabbi Shmuel, and he says beferish, it did not require Hefshet V'Nituach. So Mikara lo boi Hefshet V'Nituach, ubasof kein boi Hefshet V'Nituach. The Tanya, Ola shikrivo Yisroel b'Midbar, eina tu'una Hefshet V'Nituach, lefi she'ein Hefshet V'Nituach, ela mi'omoid ve'elech. So says Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. So then Rabbi Shmuel could have held exactly the same thing, right? That even though there was no din of Hefshet V'Nituach, nonetheless, the Ola Shikrivu was the Ola Stamid, and therefore you have no proof whatsoever that he is part of the three that hold like Beit Shammai. Yeah, okay, you're right. So cross that. Strike that from the record. So Samei Mikan Rabbi Shmuel, you're right, that wasn't much of a proof. Okay, fine, so we've got two and three at least proven. Now, it says over there, Vayishlach et Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, Vayu Yalu Olot, Vayizbechu Zvachim, Shlamim, La'ashem, Purim. Boy, is that opaque. How do we read that? Boy, Rav Chista, tell me how to read that pasuk, please. Haikra Echiktiv. Do we say, Vayishlach et Na'arei B'nei Yisrael, Vayalu Olot, comma. What were those Olot? Well, they're what they usually are. They were kvasim, right? And then when it says, Vayizbuchu, Zvachim, Shlamim, Lashem, Parim, the word Parim is only going back on the Shlamim. Or maybe the word Parim is going on both of them. Odilma idi v'idi Parim ave. Says, who cares? But my nafkamina, I understand what. Does it really make a difference? I mean, whatever it was. It's not going to be no gea halacha of any kind. You're asking me what was the situation there at Har Sinai. So what halacha is going to be impacted by making a determination of how to read this pasuk? What do you mean, says Mar Zutra? How do you read the pisuk ta'amim? I mean, we have to know where to put in. Do we put in an esnachta right there? So we say basically that the olot is an esnachta, and then we go on to read vayizbechu zvachim parim, which is a separate clause. Or do we basically bedafka go out of our way not to put an esnachta there, and we should put in, as Rashi says, either a pashta or a revia to show that it is still connected to the original? That's the nafkamina. Rav Acha Breida Rava says, no, there's a real practical nafkamina. The nafkamina would be, let's say a guy says, I am a chayiv myself, the oila, which is like the oila that Klal Yisrael brought in the Midbar. What is he chayiv? Is he going to be yotze his neder with a par? Or is he going to be yotze his neder with kvasim? That is a big nafkamina lahalacha. Says the Gemara, enoch inami, teku. We do not have a solution to that bevadai, which one it is. Okay? I hope that this recording came out. I'm sorry for the interruption, and I'm sorry we had, we lost all that time, and are not going to have time to be able to do our shviyas this morning. But anyway, the fire department's around here. I don't know what they're doing. But meanwhile, we could finish. I have no idea. I'm sitting outside over here on the lawn, and just learning the Gemara. Whatever they
really see any smoke?
No, I don't see any smoke. I only smell it. All right, whatever. Listen, you can't take a chance in a building like this. Chas v'chalila, you have to call the fire department. So whatever. Okay, see you. Thanks, everybody. The worst part is that I couldn't get to see everyone. I had to keep flipping the page in order to be able to get to see you, and that's the highlight of my day, is seeing everyone. Kol Tov, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll have a normal day tomorrow. I don't know how you turn this off, but somehow there must be a way.
of getting out
just
of
here. Just keep looking at us. Just keep looking at us.
Yeah, I love it. I love you so much. Okay, bye. Here we go.